encourage human kai arene plethunthae en epinosai to theu kai iesu to kuriu hemon. Grace and prosperity. Grace and prosperity is what finds its way into the life of the believer whenever he accomplishes the concept of wisdom by walking in the light. And so we've taken up some concepts of late, and these have to do with walking. And in the walking process, we are involved in looking at a few of the categories associated with that doctrine. Last Sunday, we noted an introduction, and then we noted in closing the concept of walking in the light. The continuous tug of war that goes on between the flesh and the Holy Spirit is categorized by this imagery that is brought to our mind's eye by the Scripture and the concept of walking. There's walking in the darkness and there's walking in the light. And because of these two categories, we can see how our soul can switch over from being led by the Holy Spirit to being led by the sinful nature or the devil's world. So walking in the light as a professional Christian requires four steps, and all four are imperative for success in the Christian walk. There's the filling of the Holy Spirit, which if utilized properly will lead towards spiritual growth. And then with that growth, you can make application of what you learn to your life and your circumstances. If you continue this process with great consistency, then you will arrive at the sophisticated spiritual life. Now, walking in the light is therefore made possible by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit may be studied from two standpoints. There is retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. Retroactive positional truth is where you're identified with the two deaths of Christ and his burial. Therefore, the sin nature is identified with Christ in those three events. It has now been left off to the side. It is no longer the dominant aspect of your life. It has been defeated by the work of Christ. Although it is still active, you do not have to submit any longer to its leadership and its tyranny. Current positional truth puts you in Christ. That's top circle assets, which you have noted in your studies so many times. And being identified with him in the top circle means you share all of the things which he possesses. This enables you to live what is called the newness of life. It refers to a new system of walking that was not previously known to you and was not previously known, let alone understood by those in the devil's world. Now, before salvation, one had become proficient, therefore, in walking in darkness. And we become very professional at that. We can be pros at operating in the dark side. And it's not hard to do. We're geared for that. You have a sinful nature with its lust patterns. And therefore, you see things that are attractive to you, and you do it, unless there's an internal governor that advises against it. So before salvation, you had this problem, but once saved, a new system was introduced, and one must become proficient in this system while denying the conscience permission to utilize facilitated wheel tracks of wickedness. Now, in our studies, in closing last Sunday, we noted the definition of protocol. This is the new system. It is energized by the divine power system and functions under the system of protocol. Now, here's the definition of that word. It is a rigid, long-established code prescribing complete deference to superior rank and authority, followed by strict adherence to due order of precedence, coupled with precisely correct procedure. Now, insert that definition in any endeavor, and you will see how success can be accomplished. It doesn't matter what you do. It can be your job. It can be a hobby. It can be a sport. It can be some obligation on your job. Whatever it is, you can find protocol system involved in it. And therefore, protocol is a rigid, long-established code. In other words, there is a rule book. And the rule book has to do with a divine decree regarding the Christian way of life in this dispensation. I remember years ago, I had a good friend down in Alabama, and he and some of his Christian friends would get together on Saturday morning and have a Bible study. And I happened to be down there, and he invited me to go, so I went. And as is always the case, once the Bible study is over, there's a swapping of ideas and thoughts. And it came around to me, and I simply used the term, the Bible is God's rule book, as to how to play the game of life. I was seated around a table of coaches, and so I thought the rule book illustration would be good. And so this guy debated me that he thought that certainly, you know, you're out of bounds here saying that the Bible is a rule book, that we have to go by the rules. And I said, well, I was just giving an illustration, but that's the general idea. You know, we have rules, we have commandments, we have mandates, we have orders to do this and not do that. Now, in your rule books of the sports that you coach or manage, you have things that are allowable on the field of play. And that when those things are violated or ignored, then some kind of penalty clause is associated with it. And therefore, you must go by the rules if you want to play the game fairly. So I don't see why you can't see this, that the Bible gives us that guideline for the game of life. There are rules. You go by them, and if you don't, there are penalty clauses. And he never got it. And he's a coach. So I don't know who played for him. And I don't know what he allowed them to do, but I mean, I gather referees and umpires had a long day when he was managing his team. But nevertheless, that's the idea here, is the Bible is God's rule book for you. And there are things you can do and things you can't do. And therefore, there's a long, a rigid, long-established code, prescribes complete deference to superior rank and authority. There's a structure, an authority structure in everything. You go to a job, there's a boss, there's sub-level supervisors, there's someone down on your level that is manages you, and then there's you. Or you may be one of those in the higher echelon of the organization. And there's an authority structure and a system by which things are accomplished. When people violate those, they get to go in the office and they get chewed out. And they keep this up, they'll eventually get demoted or even fired. So there's a rule book where you work. And if you violate the company policy, then there's going to be some kind of ramification. You have to have complete deference to superior rank and authority. And orientation to authority enables you to keep from being an Alexander Coppersmith around the water fountain, complaining about all of the things the people above you are doing wrongly, and therefore, if you were in charge, you would do it differently. Well, if you would shut up and be a team player and get promoted to that position where you can then impute your bright ideas into company policy, then we'd see how well yours would work. Otherwise, be quiet and go by company policy. In fact, if the policy is really a bad one and you recognize that, one of the ways to get it changed is to go by it implicitly. Always go by it. Ultimately, it will reveal itself as a bad idea and the guys upstairs will decide to change it. So how do you get rid of a bad policy? Go by it. But God has no bad policies and you will not see any of them changed. All of this is followed by strict adherence to due order of precedence. And precedence has to do with the fact that over time it is discovered what are the bright ideas and how well they are put into play in an organization. And through trial and error, other ideas are eliminated because they did not work. By the way, speaking of that, when people do not understand a sport, they don't understand some of the rules. I have been asked, I don't know how many times over the years, why a fouled third strike is not an out. Well, it's very simple. The rules clearly state that for an out to be recorded, the ball must appear at the bag before the runner, or it must be caught in the air. And if the catcher doesn't catch the third strike, it is not an out. You can foul off 100 pitches and you're still up to bat. Why? The ball is in the air and it was not caught by the catcher. That's why. Now, that football has this. I think basketball does. I don't follow that sport. Golf has this. Has some really weird rules in golf. And if you don't know those, you're going to have a long day. They had a guy a couple of years ago who was in a little piece of dirt about like this that they called a sand trap, and he just thought it was a place where grass wasn't growing, and he allowed his club to touch the ground, and they hit him for two strokes. I know, and he was one of the near leaders at the time. How about in your job? Have you ever violated a company policy that you didn't even know about? Well, you had to be told about it, and I'm sure you were forgiven because of your ignorance, but that you had to orient and adjust at that point. And Heather over here, bless her heart, she leads music somewhere. I don't know what school it is, but she leads music. Have you started yet? Wednesday. She's going to start leading music Wednesday. And you have people in her group that decide they want to play it differently. That was one of my problems when I was in a band and did not know how to play any instruments. That's a tough duty there. You're in the band and you have an instrument, you know how to play it. I did not know how to play it. So when I did play, it was Mr. Maul had things to say about it. And he would eventually just ask me just to hold it. Just hold the trombone. I'm not making that up. But he needed bodies because of the things that you draw on the field at halftime. So I could do that. I could go to my assigned spot. But we didn't have a big band, and to make the THS, you had to have X number of people and other things that he would draw on the board. So you had to know where to go and stand on a certain yard line and that kind of thing. So I could do that. But he said, don't play. I said, good to go. So there's a precisely correct procedure that you have to go by. Now let's look at it as this protocol idea is associated with the Word of God. A protocol plan must be administered through a system of authority, which is expressed by means of three specific sources. Number one, Scripture. Two, the gift of pastor-teacher. And three, the multiplexing ministries of the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. He fills you if you're current on rebound. He will teach you. He will bring to your remembrance those things you already know. He'll enlarge your wheel tracks once you say yes to a concept and it goes into the cardia. And he assists you in the wisdom category of when to and when not to make application to life and circumstances. There's a timing factor in application. So all of these things are part of the multiplexing ministries of the Holy Spirit. Multiplexing means you can do quite a number of things simultaneously, and he certainly is capable of doing that. And he is therefore your guide to executing the Christian way of life, and without him you can't do it. Now the rigid, long-established code then is the divine decree, while the superior rank and authority are those just noted. Scripture is A number one. You have a communicator, that is the pastor-teacher, which is a spiritual gift. He teaches, that's his job. Once the concept is communicated, it's all up to you and the Holy Spirit. You can say, that is ridiculous, and the Holy Spirit told me so, and I'm not going to believe it. Fine. It's not my business. Once you hear it, you deal with it, and therefore you structure within your soul your inventory of ideas. This is called freedom, spiritual freedom. And therefore the multiplexing ministries of the Holy Spirit enable you to acquire the information and store it within your soul for utilization in your life. Now, the order of precedence is the great power experiment of the hypostatic union. This is, of course, the environment in which Jesus Christ functioned in the incarnation. He demonstrated from his true humanity that the divine dynasphere and eight problem-solving devices were sufficient for him to maintain impeccability during the incarnation. So he had these things available to him, and therefore he was able to stay within the system for the entire 33 years. We've examined how he did that. He did it in his true humanity. He borrowed nothing from his divine essence to overpower opposition or to give him insight through omniscience. None of that occurred. He had to do it from his inventory of biblical truth that he acquired before the age of 30. Now, the precisely correct procedure refers to doing a right thing in a right way, a modus operandi that can only be accomplished by inculcation of divine policy by means of Bible study. How do you do certain things? Why do you do it? When do you do it? Do you know what to do? One of the problems in the Disneyland churches is they bring everybody in to make them feel good. And they do. I'm going to guarantee you, you will feel good when you leave that day if you're not bilious. You're either bilious or you feel good, one of the two. So you go in there and they get you all pumped up. I saw a guy on TV last night that said, you are a receiver. You are a receiver. What does that mean? It means you are going to receive from the Lord. They're the givers and they're the receivers. And I am putting on your soul today $1,000. Here's the address. You give your $1,000 and you will be a receiver. Do I hear an amen? $1,000 and you will be a receiver. I watched that just to see where it was going. Not only was there a phone number you could call with operator standing by. I am not making this up. They were standing by and they showed a picture of them. And if the line was busy, you could go on the website and use, you guessed it, PayPal. And $1,000 was the bottom. You could, of course, give more and receive more. You can go into these churches and you can get pumped up. But when you leave and you go back out into the devil's world, it's going to be exactly as you found it when you left it before. And you have to deal with the same people, the same doofy, the same rules, regulations, mismanagement, turmoil, federal government. Everything that's wrong out there is still wrong. And you got nothing to deal with it with. Because all you got was pumped up through emotion and you gave your money away hoping to buy something from God. Yeah, I'll ante up my 1K, but I want some stuff back. I don't know where Grace got bludgeoned in that operation, but that is not grace. That's buying blessings, allegedly. It's not going to be. Whatever. Look, something good's going to happen to somebody in that congregation. Good from the human viewpoint. They're going to ante up the 1,000, and something's good going to happen to maybe 6 or 8% of them. Who knows the number? And they're going to tell others, you know, Aunt Harriet died and left me $1 million down in Dallas. Oh, it works. It works. And then they're going to assume that their 1,000 has just been put in escrow for a while, and somewhere down the road they're going to get their stuff. Somewhere, somehow, someday, every one of those people is going to have something happen to them that they assume is the payoff. And they will have bought into the lie. And you know what? When the payoff comes, allegedly, they will see that they are indeed a receiver. And they'll ante up another 1,000, maybe go 2 this time. But he told them square away, don't even think about sending less than $1,000. That is not grace, and that takes the plan of God and turns it into a huckster show. You can go to the county fair and do that. Throw balls at little dummies or ducks or something in order to get a stuffed animal. That's about the same thing. Or you can go to the boat. Go down there. Go on. You'll win one day. Why am I opposed to boats? Hey, it's free enterprise. They do what they want to do. But here's the point. I learned this years ago. Over in Kansas City, they had one of those boats. And it was only clearing $1 million a day. And whoever ran that outfit decided that that was not working for them and they were going to shut her down. It only cleared $400 and something million the year before, and that was way down on the totem pole of what they normally... Look, if they clear $1 million a day and that's not enough, and you go on that boat and you think you're going to clean them out, you are a crazy person. Do you think that those people that akin to Lou Basso up in Atlantic City don't know what they're doing? That he put up those fancy buildings with all the lights flashing and hotels you can stay in for free? Come on down. We'll let you stay the whole weekend. Won't charge you a dime and give you food to boot. But do come into the casino and try out our slot machines. They are the loosest slots in town. Come on in. Try out our blackjack table. Do a little roulette wheel. You may win a lot of money. And every now and then somebody does and they say, I won $400,000 at the roulette table last weekend. Where was it? It was over yonder on the river. And that's a good place for it because most of the people that go on are sold down the river. Now, you're looking at me... It's true. And you're looking at me and saying, well, you're very legalistic. You think going on those boats is some kind of sin. I don't care where you go. I'm just telling you, you are a fool to think you're going to come out ahead with these people. They are crooks. It's all wired. They know what they're doing. Gee. Take your $1,000 and give it to that guy down in Atlanta. You'll come closer to a payoff with him than with those guys. So there's a right thing and a wrong way. Find out what the right thing is and go with it. Consequently, the positive aspect of walking requires the believer to develop an inventory of ideas from which he is able to make specific applications of doctrine to life. The first wheel track one must facilitate is faith in God and His Word. 2 Corinthians 5:7 reads, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And what do you place your faith in? It's in the Word of God. Not by what you see, it's what you know. And what you know is what you learn from the Word of God, which you accept on faith. Is God a God of honesty and integrity? Will he go back on his word? If he tells you he will do something, then you may count on him doing it. But in his good time, in his plan. Patience, therefore, is required. Now, this is my little guy here. You can see he's got that little snarly expression on his face. That is the expression of being out of fellowship. The soul must be defended against a Jean Provocateur, from the lust patterns of the sinful nature, and outside adversities from the devil's world. And this is accomplished by the deployment of the 10 problem-solving devices which this dude is not using. Take a look here at the outside adversities, the extrinsic fifth column. It infiltrates from outside the body. This is what you hear or see, what you read. Doctrines of demons includes human viewpoint, human good and evil from cosmic philosophies and, for example, progressive ideology. Therefore, you've got a soul here, right up in here, and it has certain attributes. There's a conscience there, but with children, the conscience is programmed to give priority to truth. But the conscience can be, in many ways, damaged. And therefore, when you place your trust in someone that they're telling you the truth, and you have no other defenses against the lie, then the conscience can be contorted and destroyed. That is why those who want to take over a society through a long march will begin with the children. And in every way possible, they want to get into the souls of children before they have any defense department against the lie. And if you communicate it to them with a smiling face and tell them it's the right thing to do, and even your parents who might object to this, they're wrong, and it's your job to educate them when you get home. Like, are they properly recycling? And if they're not, you are to tell us. I'm not making that up. That kind of thing goes on in the federal schools. But why? And are the people who are communicating these things to the children aware of the fact that they're walking in the dark side and that they're involved in a very evil, corrupt process? I submit that the larger percentage of them don't know that, because they, as children, were taught the same things, and then they went into university, to graduate school, and even got a PhD in childhood education. And then they got a job in a local school and communicated what they have been taught is the truth, and therefore they're better teachers as a result of that. They believe it to be true. They are useful idiots. And so they communicate these doctrines of demons to children so that when they grow up and at 18 they graduate, this few months ago, an entire bevy was released into society from the varied high schools around the country, and they are now going to vote. And so these people are out there within the milieu of our society with that thought process, and then they will get married, and then they will breed, and then they will have children, and they will put them into the same system, and in 18 more years you have the same problem. And it's a year by year process, obviously. Human good and evil comes into the ear gate and the eye gate, and therefore it is cataloged in the soul, and you've got a person who has been propagandized by the dark side. Now, there are agents provocateurs from the lust pattern that penetrate the soul, giving the sinful nature control over thought, decision, and action. And the old sin nature, therefore, is the fifth column inside the body. It is the enemy. The enemy lives within the walls. Therefore, when the concept is presented to the soul and the volition says, I agree with that, let's do that, then you've got a capture of the command post of the soul, and you have a problem internally. And the only way to rid the problem is, A, get yourself saved if you're not, and if you are, use rebound, which will only delay the advance for a few minutes. The overwhelming solution is to inculcate within your soul the Word of God according to Romans 12:2, where you renovate. You tear down erroneous, conflicting, satanic information and replace it with the Word of God. And that refurbishing process can take years to accomplish. Therefore, the imperative of consistent Bible study. Without that, you will be overwhelmed by the intrinsic and extrinsic fifth columns. They are on duty 24/7 for the rest of your life. Ephesians 4:1, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, continue to encourage you to walk in a manner worthy of your station in life, into which you have been elected, royal family, associated with objective grace thinking and courteous considerateness, associated with patience toward the antagonistic, when putting up with one another the same kind, royal family, in the sphere of virtue love. That's your homework assignment for the rest of the week. Objective grace thinking. Courteous considerateness associated with patience. Those are the antagonistic types. When putting up with one another the same kind, that's royal family. In the sphere of virtue love. So that would be personal love for God, which motivates unconditional love for your fellow man. Then verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity from the Spirit in the bond of soul prosperity. Now, the acquisition of these devices can only be done by learning their application from Bible study, which Paul takes up a chapter later in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, beware how accurately you advance, not as unwise ones, but as wise ones. And this is therefore an appeal to advancing to the sophisticated spiritual life so that you have wisdom, knowing what doctrines to apply and when. There's timing involved. Constantly buying the time assigned to you because the days within your assignment are evil. What is that saying? Verse 16 of chapter 5 is saying that you have X number of days in this life. Therefore, during that period of time, you're going to confront evil. There was always going to be that enemy. 24/7, the rest of your life. You will not get away from it. Evil is inherent to the devil's world. You must learn to identify it. Defend your soul from it. Not allow it to become a part of your thought process. The only way you can do that, because it is always presented as such a lovely idea. If you can't penetrate through the loveliness to the corrupt, cancerous core, then you don't have enough intelligence to fight the dark side. And it says here that you've got X number of days involved. Constantly buying the time assigned to you, because the days within your assignment, your lifetime, are evil. Because of this, stop being ignorant, but completely and thoroughly understand the will and the purpose and the policy and the design of God. And that takes Bible study. Question might arise, what's the will of God? What's the purpose of God? What's the policy? What's the design? The will of God is to accomplish His objective, which is to win the appeal trial. And you're going to be those who testify one way or the other. Purpose, His glorification. Policy, grace. Design, Bible doctrine. It's revealed there. These verses stress the inculcation of truth to the point of wisdom, in which is found the treasures and the wisdom of knowledge. There's nothing that beats knowledge. The dumber you are, the more vulnerable you are. Therefore, you must find the sources of truth. And that starts with Scripture, but with knowledge that's built on the Word of God, you can branch out and find writings that contribute to the development of your understanding of how the Word of God is to be understood and applied. And they're writings of intelligent, brilliant people who incorporate through illustrations the application of these things. One of my favorite is Russell Kirk. I don't know how many books that man wrote, but it must have been around 50. And when it comes to, he was a believer. I knew Russell Kirk, not as a close personal friend, but I worked with him. And Russell Kirk was an honorable man. He was a believer, and he understood clearly the importance of Christianity being the superior foundational element of a free society. And he wrote about things involving the laws of divine establishment and the importance of the divine institutions, although he didn't call them that. Since the days assigned to you are evil, since you possess a sinful nature, and since the devil's world provides the resources for momentum testing, the problem-solving devices constitute an indispensable category of one's doctrinal inventory of ideas. Of all of the things you know and have learned from Scripture, the summation of how to deal with the exigencies of life that we call the 10 problem-solving devices become an imperative increment and resource within your cardia to deal with whatever the world presents to you. The devil's world is on duty 24/7. Momentum testing is mentioned here. Thought testing. Are the brilliant PhDs in progressive ideology so good at presenting their ideas that it sounds good to you? They're good. They are good at what they do. They're not good, but they're good at what they do. And if you can't understand what they're up to and penetrate into the lovely sounding phrases, then you're going to be sucked into it. And people are being sucked into that morass every day because they do not have an inventory internal by which to identify the lie. If you don't have a biblical view, you don't see this. And there are people involved, and we can point to them and say, there's a good illustration. Systems, a lot of systems out there right now that certainly are not biblical. Systems that are purposefully being employed that are destroying the country. And disaster testing, that's on the horizon. And let it come. I'll repeat it, sir, let it come. For it is only then when it is identified in the clear light of day that people realize that the thought processes that took us there are failures and therefore were motivated by the lie. And let truth, therefore, win that day. Then, of course, there's prosperity testing. Did we fail that one as a people? Have we failed prosperity testing? I mean, I think prosperity is a good thing. I mean, we've got roofs over our head, isn't that good? We've got clothes to wear, food in the refrigerator, widescreen HD 1080p TV. What's to want? Pitching? That brings us to our next category, walking in darkness, and we'll take that up at 10 till the hour.